Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Addiction Unlimited podcast, where you get to learn everything you want to know about addiction and recovery. I'm your host, Angela Pugh, co-founder of Kansas City Recovery, life coach, and recovering alcoholic. To learn more about me, you can listen to episode zero on your podcast app or find us on the web at addictionunlimited.com. The real reason for feeling some depression or symptoms of depression when you quit drinking alcohol. And one of these may be something you've never heard of. Hello, my friend. Welcome back to another episode of the Addiction Unlimited podcast. I'm your coach, Angela Pugh. If you've ever used alcohol to deal with feelings of depression, you may find that after your buzz wears off, you feel even lower than before. And when you quit drinking or explore the possibility of being alcohol-free, it's common to question why you're drinking so much in the first place. It's a chicken and egg situation. Which came first? Were you struggling because you were drinking, or were you drinking because you were struggling? Well, both can be true. Drinking can increase depression, but depression is also linked to heavier drinking. In my personal experience, I used alcohol to self-medicate. When I really started drinking, it was my response to a devastating breakup. Too many feelings, no idea how to cope with it all, no support system for guidance in coping with it all. And to survive it, I had to have something to dull the pain and confusion and overwhelm. And this is something I want you to hear through this episode that you and I talk about regularly. All of our details won't match perfectly, meaning how something happened for me will not necessarily be the same way it happens for you. For me, I wasn't someone who struggled with depression before or after my drinking. Anxiety was always a much bigger monster for me. But anxiety is a symptom of depression, so maybe I had it more than I thought. Depression may be the bigger issue for you, and I want you to have some insight on what's happening to you and why, because it can make sobriety feel much more difficult to manage if you're struggling with some of this stuff. If you're in early sobriety, like your first 12 months, and you're having symptoms of depression, you might be wondering, is it because you quit drinking? And the not so simple answer is yes and no. You have to keep in mind, life changes are disruptive and difficult. It's not sobriety's fault or because of sobriety, right? Quitting drinking is just the thing that's happening for you right now. That's the big life change you're going through. Down the road, it will be something else causing the same disruption and difficulties in adjusting. There are a few things to be aware of to make sense of what you may be feeling, and more importantly, to help you cope and have the understanding that it is fixable. Just starting with the life changes, right? Life changes affect your mood, and depression is one of those effects. Stressful life events, divorce, job loss, death, financial difficulties, all of that can trigger depression or depressive symptoms. Anxiety, right? Any life change creates uncertainty, and uncertainty can lead to anxiety because your brain is trying to predict what will happen next. And if everything's uncertain, you don't know what's going to happen next. There's your anxiety. Also, just a basic adjustment disorder, right? Major life changes trigger this temporary condition called adjustment disorder, and that can manifest as sadness, worrying, crying, trouble sleeping. So when you think about it in those simple terms as just a major life change, feeling overwhelmed, increased levels of anxiety after quitting drinking is a super common experience. You also, when you quit drinking, your body and your brain go through significant adjustments, right? You have the withdrawal. Your body is adjusting now to the absence of alcohol, and that's what your withdrawal symptoms are. Anxiety is a huge part of that. And that self-medicating factor we talked about a minute ago, you may have been using alcohol to cope with anxiety and underlying emotional issues. And when you remove the alcohol, now that that's gone, all of those feelings that you were medicating resurface. They're all basically just sitting there waiting for you. The longer we drink or use any substance, all of the feelings you're avoiding are just waiting for you. They're right there just waiting for you to be in your right mind again. So that stuff resurfaces. So all these things are happening and your body and brain have to adjust to the differences. And now the big one I want to talk about that most people aren't familiar with is a condition called anhedonia. And I'm going to spell that out for my fellow nerds who will want to Google this and learn all the ins and outs, just like I did 100 years ago. I was so fascinated by this and it really helped me a lot. It's anhedonia, A-N-H-E-D-O-N-I-A, anhedonia. Anhedonia is defined as an inability to feel pleasure. You might be numb, uninterested, lacking motivation, just not feeling joy or pleasure in activities that used to bring you joy and pleasure. Anhedonia is a major factor in people relapsing early in sobriety, and no one is talking about it. It's just a general feeling of blah. And there are two primary factors that play a role here. There's biochemical and psychological. The biochemical part is something you're probably familiar with, right? You hear about dopamine and serotonin and the pleasure center of your brain. These are the biochemical components. When you ingest drugs and alcohol, you get a release of dopamine in your brain, and eventually your brain stops making dopamine on its own. The natural production ceases. And remember what dopamine does. It's the reward neurotransmitter. It keeps us safe and alive. It propels us to move forward as human beings and function in society. And if you don't have it, you don't feel good. So when you quit drinking, you no longer have the chemically altered amount of dopamine, and your brain stopped naturally producing dopamine. If you have no happy neurotransmitter produced, how do you think you're going to feel? That's the biochemical piece. Now let's move into the psychological effects. If you look at life in active addiction, it's usually a pretty exciting lifestyle. And of course, this goes back to details not matching. Everybody's details aren't going to match exactly. For some people, they're adrenaline junkies, so they chase extreme things. Some people are relationship junkies and chase those things. For some, it's money and achievement. Maybe it's travel or going out all the time or sporting events or camping trips. But we're usually involved in drinking activities with drinking people, and it's fun and exciting until it's not. And even if it's negative excitement, it's still excitement. And all the excitement produces adrenaline and gets your heart beating. When you quit drinking, you're not getting that same level of excitement. And this can lead you to the comparison game, right? Where your brain wants to tell you the excitement, even negative excitement, was good and sobriety feels bad. You can start awfulizing sobriety or romanticizing your drinking life because it felt more exciting. If you used to love going camping with all your friends and you get sober and go camping with all your friends, there's a good chance you're not going to get the same reward you're used to because you have this dopamine deficit of anhedonia happening. And this is when you start awfulizing or you get hyper-focused on things from your past that would give you that dopamine hit. There are also two types of anhedonia. There's social anhedonia, when you don't enjoy being around people. And there's physical anhedonia, which is where when physical touch or smells or sounds don't bring you joy the same way, right? Like listening to music or eating food or even having sex, when that doesn't give you the same joy or excitement that it used to give you. When you're dealing with anhedonia, you may have trouble sleeping, which then also affects your mood and your ability to go through your daily routine and do the things you need to do. It can also affect your sex drive. You may have trouble spending time with people, feel like you have nothing to give, whether that's love, affection, or appreciation. And don't confuse anhedonia with apathy, right? Those aren't the same thing. Anhedonia is the lack of enjoyment or pleasure. apathy is a lack of energy or motivation. And I really wanted to distinguish those two things because we, as people with addiction, alcoholism, whatever you want to call it, we struggle with all of this stuff, right? Like our moods are up and down because we have this situation going on in our pleasure center and things aren't regulated. So I wanted you to understand really the difference. Again, apathy is a lack of energy or motivation because people will attach all kinds of labels to their behaviors and kind of freak out. This is happening. How do I fix it? What's wrong with me? And a lot of times we're really looking into the wrong things. So I want you to understand apathy is lack of energy or motivation, and anhedonia is lack of enjoyment or pleasure. So what can you do to combat anhedonia? Well, anything that increases dopamine production. This is one of the primary reasons you hear me talk so much about getting movement of some sort. When you engage in physical activities, your body releases dopamine. Since anhedonia affects your body's dopamine levels, exercising can help your body release more dopamine and activate your brain's pleasure center. The good news in all of this is it's treatable and it's not difficult. There are so many regular life activities that increase dopamine, and you can easily incorporate all kinds of things throughout your day to feel better and be working on feeling better consistently. Look, this is fixable on a brain level too. I want to be clear about that. There are certain things. This is where I got so obsessed with the brain and neuro early in my sobriety because I recognized that your brain has certain systems. Your brain functions in a very specific way. And if you make the right choices and take the right actions, your brain literally will change to support you in your new lifestyle, in your new way of thinking, in your new way of being. It's not fast. But I knew if I just kept doing the things, the right things, the good things, I knew I was fixing my brain on a long-term basis. Anhedonia can interfere with all kinds of stuff, your ability to enjoy the little things like eating your favorite foods or getting or giving a hug to someone you love. You may feel frustrated that you no longer find pleasure in the things that once made you happy. Whether the depression existed before alcohol or not, its presence after quitting can certainly feel confusing and irritating and affect your quality of life and increase your risk of relapse. This is a huge reason for relapse. Again, remember, any major life change can create symptoms of depression and anxiety. It's not specifically about quitting alcohol. And you have to be aware that during this transition, your risk of relapse is high, not only because of heightened anxiety and adjustment struggles, but also because of the anhedonia. The key is understanding it's fixable. Even when you're years into recovery, you're going to have major life changes to grapple with. There's no way around that. It will be challenging, and that's okay. Challenge makes you strong. Be patient with yourself. Make sure you're incorporating dopamine-boosting activities in your day to help your brain heal and get back on track. And don't let a little adversity slow you down. And if you want real-life guidance on how to start your sober journey, get relief, and make sure you're doing the right things, you're welcome to schedule a call with me and see if we're a good fit to work together. You can do that at addictionunlimited.com/call. Of course, that is always in the show notes, so you can click right from your podcast app, addictionunlimited.com/call. You'll definitely love our community, the support, the connection, and we'd love to have you in our success circle, addictionunlimited.com/call. I hope you got a ton of value from this episode and you are having a fantastic day, and I will see you next week.
You've reached the end of another great episode of the Addiction Unlimited podcast, candid and honest conversation about addiction and recovery. Be sure to visit us at addictionunlimited.com to join the conversation and access show notes and links to everything we talked about. Love this episode? Please take 30 seconds to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes to help us improve and give you the information you want. Thanks for listening. See you next week.